something, the Heilige Halacha.
Here, Halacha, Zion, and Paragon. Halacha, Zod, and Paragon. Kerem Shukulo Ololot. Let's say the entire vineyard consists of very low quality vines that have produced only Ololot. Rabbi Eliezer says, in that case, they're not given to the Aniyim, they belong to the Balavayas. Rabbi Akiva Omer La'Aniyim. Omer Rabbi Eliezer. What is the basis of saying that it goes all to the Balavayas? Because it says in the Torah, if you're doing a betirah, then don't take the ololot. But in ein betir, there's no ololot. In ein betir, ololot be not. So the Torah made it dependent on there being a betir. Well, Rabbi Akiva said to him, well, it also says, which means under any circumstances, don't be ma'ole ala karam. And that's what he's doing. Even if your karmacha is ololot, lo ta'ole. How then do I explain kitzik tzor? Okay, lama ne'amar kitzik tzor lo ta'olel. That's to tell me that ein la'aniyim ba'ololot kodem lebatir. The aniyim have no right to claim the ololot unless the balabayas has done the batir. Says the Gemara. Didikavate, how far would we stretch Rebbe Eliezer's drosha that in ein batir ein ololot? Would we say in ein batir so too in parrot, would there also be no parrot karmakha, because it's included in the same circuit? Would we say lo tifsar tifsar lo talel would imply only when there is a batira right here, so it would need to be batsad habatir? But suppose the balabayat had been botsir and an animal came along and ate up the batir, then there would be no ololot and lo? Don't know. Mikamahu batir. What exactly defines a batir? The Beit Shila Amru, Shlosha Ishkalot, Shemosim Rivia. What we would need is to have at least three separate Ishkalot that will make a Rivias Yayin that is significant, that's considered to be a Batir. Now, if you take a look at Rabbi Akiva Shita, he's explaining the meaning of both of these circuits. Kitis Tzor Loka Olel. He's coming to tell me that the Ani only gets the right to the Batsir, to the Ololot at the Batsir. And the Karmacholot Olel tells me that a term that is Kulay Ololot cannot be taken by the Balabai. But Rabbi Eliezer is only coming to explain one of the circuits. Kitis Tzor Loka Olel. How does he explain the Pesach? The Karmacholot Olel. And it says the Gemara Shemot Omar. Therefore, you said to him, you might think that the meaning of the pasuk that kitzar lo ta'alel is also the implication that if the balabayit takes the ololot before he does the batir on the aniyim, therefore don't have a batir with ololot, and he can get away with that. Therefore, the Torah has to say, karmacha lo ta'alel. There is a presumptive right of the Ani to have this. You can't deprive him of that right, even though he can't exercise the right until later. It's like a Wheaton. He has on the Ololot. You used to use fine son only for a parrot. I mean, you would say Zok.
Zok the Halika Halacha.
Halacha Zayin. Hamagdishet Karmo Achelo Nodu Ha'ololot Eina Ololot Ha'aniyim. Somebody who gives his kerem to Hedrash before the ololot were recognizable, then there is no ololot to the aniyim. Mishinotua ololot, or once the ololot had already formed, then the ololot were not his to give, and the ololot still remained to the aniyim, not to Hedrash. Rabbi Yossi on there? Rabbi Yossi says, nonetheless, Yitnus Chazidulan La Hedrash, they would still have to pay Hedrash for the fact that their ololot grew on a vine of Hegdish and Hegdish's Rishus. Otherwise it would be like Meyua. What right do they have to take so separate from Hegdish? The Ezoshikha the Aris, Koshinir Khalashabit Yadav, Mitlov, Kuragliot, Mishi Yahavor Mimena. What defines in a vineyard Shikha? If it's an Aris, an Aris is a vine on a trellis. So over there we have to climb to get it. It's as long as you would be able to stick your hands out and still take from the part that you had previously looked at, you could still take it without moving your ladder, that's all considered to be non-shikha. Whereas barag liot, vines that are close to the ground and that are going to be harvested on foot, nishi avor mimena, it's like any other shikha. When you pass by, the Gemara explains that each vine is viewed in a vineyard as the equivalent of a shura in a seitvua. So you've done. That's right. You've completed it. So nishi avor mimena, you've done. Now, Taman Tanina, not the same as Mishnah about the three things that Anshe Yericho did, that the Chachamim were angry about, Umichu the other. One of the things that they did that the Chachamim disapproved of was that the trees, the sycamore trees that were used there for, they used to harvest wood. So they plant sycamore, and the sycamore can be cut down very low, and they will still regrow the beans. Those were given to Hegdish, and what they would do was the new growth that grew off of those large beans, in the korot, it's called korot of shikma, so the gamziot, which is a new growth, they would harvest the seed for themselves. And the chachamim were mocha, they have no right to take the new growth from Hegdish. And then now you see right away the connection to our Mishnah, because the new growth of the ololot, the additional growth, we're claiming, according to a Yotzi, that you have to pay for it, because of the grew up from Hegdish, but the Chachamim say you don't have to pay for it. So now, when the Chachamim went over there and they saw the Korot, and they were mocha, let's try to understand why were they mocha.
What did they Hegdish using beans
for? Belong to them. They can do whatever they want.
They sell it for money.
Yeah. Well, Rulam Chachamim. So the Chachamim told Anshe Yericho, aren't you motivated that Hegdish owns a tree and it has pears? Those pears are Hegdish, you know? So why aren't Hegdish owns this tree, and why are you allowed to keep the new growth? The Anshe Yericho said, well, this is a very unique case. Avotenum, our forefathers who were Magdish, these Korot, Kishin Gdishu, Lo Yigdishu Ela Korot, they weren't Magdish the tree. They only gave Hegdish the right to the wood of the Korah. And the reason was that there was all a historical basis for this. There were roving bands that would steal the Korot from people that had wood farms. And because of that, they were Magdish the Korot, so that the robbers wouldn't want to be male, so they wouldn't take it from Hegdish. But they have no intention to be Magdish the tree. Therefore, any new growth doesn't belong to Hegdish. So the bears would come and take it without permission, and that's the way they got away from that. Now, Marabanan Sabin Nema, what exactly do the Rabbanan hold that they were mocha connected? They actually recall, they said you have no right to do this. Is it because they disagree on the historical truth? Is it because they hold that no, that's not the case? The case was that they actually gave away the olive tree, and that's still difficult to believe, and why should the people not know what happened? No, that's not why they argued. They were saying, even if you're right, that doesn't matter. I would still want to know, in such a case, what is the din? Is that peirot? If there's a combination here of korot and new growth, which we're calling the peirot. So, is it necessarily true that korot yigdishu peirot lo yigdish? Tricky Rabbanan. They're not sure about that. So they said, until you can show us that when Hegdish owns a korot, that the new growth of the korot itself is not considered to be included, so then I don't think you're doing the wrong thing. Now, why isn't our Mishnah a riot? What do you mean they didn't know? Here the Mishnah says exactly what the thing is. We see over here, which would be the same question. Can you, if you're being magdish, can you say, I'm only being magdish what's extant, but I'm not being magdish what's going to grow? Or is that a given, that if Hegdish owns the thing, then anything's going to grow, so you do like Hegdish? That's what we're not sure. So I think about, why are you not sure? Why can't we learn a lot of our Mishnah? It says over here, you should know the Ua Ololot, Ololot Lamiyim. Once the Ololot grow, The olalot belong to the aniyim, and according to the Tanna Kamma, who argue on Rabbi Yossi, you don't have to pay for whatever grew in the Rishus of Egdash. So doesn't that show that the growth of the Rishus of Egdash is still retained by the aniyim, even though the rest of the vine belongs to Egdash? The same thing over here. We gave the rest of the vine, so to speak, the rest of the sycamore tree to Egdash, but whatever else grew was owned by us. You know, we're the equivalent of the aniyim in the case of the Mishnah. Why should we have to pay Egdash for the new growth any more than the aniyim would they have to pay Egdash for the new growth of the olamos, which is exactly what the Rabbanim say is wrong about Rabbi Yossi. He's claiming that they do have to pay, they say they don't have to pay. So here you see, it's a Mishnah according to the Tanna Kamma. Hold, you don't have to pay. Why is it different? It's completely different. Because she'ein adam, these are she'ein shelo. There's no question. The aniyim owned the olalot and the right to the full growth of the olalot. And that was the whole point of when the Mishnah was saying the drush from the Pesukim of Rabbi Akiva. It's to say, even though you can't take it, but you own it before. And you own the rights to the gidul. So therefore, you can't be magdish that. You don't own it to be magdish. You owner of the vineyard. Mashenkin, an owner of a tree who's magdish, can be magdish that. So the question is, what is included in the Egdash? That we're not sure. Maybe included in Egdash is also the rights to Gidulim.
Didn't we have the problem with this, with thinning down the vine? And we said,
no, that's because they get hanah from it, ultimately.
So because of it,
Well, if that's the story, so then the atas, you don't know, if you're saying that the aniyim have the right to the ultimate olalot, so then even if the olalot didn't appear at all, why don't they have the right to the ultimate olalot that appear on the vine, and that wasn't given to Hector? So, because now we're looking at a different way. You think it was never given to Hector in the first place. That's shot. We could take something from Hector. And you didn't have a right to be mine, you. So that's the case, you never write to me back. Because the Olalot, even if we were alone, no, do Olalot. No. Now, Shani, that seems different. Because since the time that the Olalot first appeared, it's the Karen of Agdash. There is no din in these Olalot of Kedusha for the Olalot at all. Because Agdash is separate from Olalot. So you need to first define the Olalot, and then you can say it is an Agdash. But if the Olalot appear in a vine of Agdash, they're not Olalot. Titana. How did Titana? And the Teak, Karen, the Agdash, Pokemon, Arlam, and Arvoyim, and Olalot. Like it says, somebody plants a vine for Agnes, that's essentially what you're doing. So you're plucked from the olalot. But your chayev b'shvi'it, even though it belongs to Agnes, it's still within a shemitah. Rabbi Zera quotes Rabbi Yochanan, explaining why that's true. Rabbi Zera b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, v'shavta ha'aretz shabbat la'ashem. Even a davar which is la'ashem, even a Agnes, it's a shvi'it. Shvi'it chalalah, beautiful news. Insight into the Shabbat Moshe.
Why can't we just go back to the Vashalo Baal Olam before the Olalot exist, and how could you even think of giving that away since it's not necessarily going to happen?
Because now we understood that the same way that when you give away the small Olalot, right, you're giving away also the rights to Shabbat Baal Olam, the rights to something that's going to grow.
Yeah,
but once you're doing that, that's included in the answer. It's really included in the answer over here that no, we first need to define that thing as expense. It's not expense. You can't give it at all. Now, Rabbi Barava, boy, can they Rabbi Mana? Rabbi Barava asks Rabbi Mana, that's an interesting question. What would be the din, lo'okolo, lo'okudyan? How does this work? Hegish owns the terra. Right? Now, you want to go ahead, there's no way to be poda the Kedusha of Shriya. Right? So the actual payers of Shriya, that you can't take off the Kedusha from it. If you were poda, then both things are Kedusha. The money is also Kedusha. No, Kedusha on the money, you can be poda on something else. But there's no way to be poda. So now, what exactly are you going to do with these payers? Okay? The Gizbar has got payers in the Kerem of Shemitah, that belongs to Hegdash. A Yisrael is going to come along, and he's going to eat it, the Kedusha Shemitah, I assume, right? Can he eat it without a pinyon from Hegdash? I mean, it's also Hegdash, isn't it? So, can he be poted? I mean, how exactly does that work? Below Pidyan, Yevshah. It's still growing from Agdus, and has Kedusha on it. So you can have to be put it. But on the other hand, Leif does so for the whole flow to use money and to be put as a part of Agdus, not to be Shvir. But if you're going to do that, Nimsik is okay for a card to be Shvir. What good is that going to do? What's the Gizpa going to do with the money? He's going to buy something, he's going to buy a hammer that Hegdish can use. You're not allowed to use money to make Shemitah. You're not allowed to use money of Shemitah, which has Kedusha on it, to go ahead and to buy things that are not edible. So what exactly is Hegdish going to do with this? You're telling me it's this Hegdish thing. How do we proceed? So he told them, very simple. On my way, Hagizbor makli fo, biyadachar, very simple. The Gizbor goes ahead. He's machalal the money on other money that someone does as a favor, right? Sure, not a Jew, do Hegdish a favor. You have money. You want to use this money for food anyway. Let us put Kedusha Shvias on the money. You'll then eat this money. You'll buy something with it, and you'll eat it for Kedusha Shvias. Meanwhile, Hegdish will be able to have a hanot, to buy a hammer with the other money, and to use that hammer for building a Beis HaMikdash. That's exactly what it'll do. But the parish, he is himself, and if you know, there'd be no way to be part of those actual parish. So, because we're going to give those parish to somebody, that guy's going to be part of the Hegdish on it. The Hegdish will then take that money, give it to another Jew, exchange it for other money. So you use that money, and we'll use this money. And you eat whatever you buy with that money. You'll do the Hegdish a favor, and you'll eat it because you should.
Hegdish doesn't become a hefker during something that's useful.
But the Hegdish on it, but see, it's very interesting that the Kedusha of Hegdish has on it something other than Bila. That's the problem over here. So how do we deal with that element? Normally we don't have to deal with it separately, it's the same thing. But when it comes to Shemitah, we have a very strange situation, which the element of the Bila is, in the Tsunami, says the new Shemitah on it. But the element of Hegdish, still Hegdish.
It's like picking up a diamond, it's still a diamond. I mean, it might not be owned by
right.
anyone, but it's still
it's Hegdish. Unbelievable. Omer Rabbi, it comes along now with Netanyahu. The Lama Leitanana Mikadi Am Rabbi Yochanan. Really, Rabbi Yosef Yivnesha Kodam Nidro Lehefkiro. Why exactly, when Rabbi Yosef says over here in the Mishnah, you have to pay? He says you have to pay for the Gidulim, which the Tanakhama argues. Why don't we say what Rabbi Yochanan himself said in the Shita of Rabbi Yosef, who said that in the case of somebody who's been made a hanah from somebody else, so if he was master something that he owned, that somebody that is mutter hanah from him should be able to eat, that's us. The same case that we're on the house in the derech, there's not enough food for one of the guys, but this guy can't give him his food because he's usher hanah on him. So can he be master the food? And the Kol Mishi Yachpoz, he makes a technical effort, and any other guy should be able to take. And Rabbi Yochanan says he can't. And Rabbi Yochanan says, the reason, this is what we're quoting over here, the reason that Rabbi Yochanan says he can't is Mipesh Kadam Nedro Lehefkero. It's because the Neder came before the Hefker, in which case the act of the Hefker itself is now part of violation of your Neder. See, if you had been mocked to it first, then you would know they're fine. Okay, so the guy didn't get any enough in you. But if you're not being mastered as part of the way in which he's going to get an offer from you, then he's getting an offer from you. It was already called the Isser on these payers for him once you answered these payers. So you see that Rabbi Yosef would be made that if the Hefker came first and there wasn't an Isser on the payers. So, Vahacha, why don't we say here too, they should cut him Hefker or Lemitra. Here in the Mishnah, it's basically the same case because since the oil has already belonged, to the Aniyah. So at that point, before the Hegdash was called, they never became Osir as Paris of Hegdash. At the time that they were Yonah, they would go on their own. Why then does he only have to pay? Says the Gemara, because should be the same. Fine, we leave that question stand. Nonetheless, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, my Sahaya, Yahoruk Rabbi Yosi. There was, in fact, a case where they were Meira Halacha, like Rabbi Yosi, and that you have to pay the Skargi Bilam Lahegdash, even though it's Rabbi Yochanan himself who said the Torah of Yochanan of Gergogelitis, which is Kodam, Ef Keron, Le Kudushan, Le Nidra. Let's have a plea out of Rabbi Yochanan. By the way, doesn't this also show that Rabbi Yochanan is wrong? The next piece, where it says in the Mishnah that Shikha is considered to be, remember we had already two times before a case where Rabbi Yochanan argued on Rafia Rabba, and remember where Rabotia said I was picking with him, and he said as long as you could stick your hand out, and as long as you could stretch and reach it, then it's not going to be Shikha. And Rabbi Yochanan said, no, it's not true, Kima Java. So, and then same, well, the Yochanan is arguing in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the Farish. And when it comes to the vines that are up there on the trellis, so as long as you can stick out your hand, it's not going to be Shikha. So how could the Yochanan argue on that? So doesn't the part of our Mishnah show that the Yochanan is wrong? It says, we keep on Sha'avar Mimenu, Hayez at Shikha. He said in that case over there, where Romeis Hayiti, that it's considered to be shikha the moment you finish that branch, even though you could see, right? If you put your hands back to get that in. So if you want to shine me, boy, taking a batsir from a vine on a trellis is not the same as picking olives on an olive tree. Why? Because shidako li batain. The mission of here is not saying that the very fact that I could reach it is enough to make it not shikha. In that, Rabbi Yochanan maintains, of course, what does that have to do with it? You finished. Who cares what you could do? You can always go back. But that's not the point. You finished. So why wouldn't that be shikha? The point of our Mishnah is that the norm in collecting trellises, off of trellises, because very often you won't see the vine until you get at another angle. So as long as you can still reach it, you keep checking back. That's the point. So you have not been over, and you're dust. You haven't finished that. My same thing, a branch of a tree, the norm is you finish. Things are not that valuable. You're not going to sit there looking over it 100 times. So that all of the opening says is that the very fact that you can reach it doesn't mean it's not shikha. That's all he said. And he can still maintain that even in our mission. By the way, if anything, now that you understand it, the Mishnah is a problem on Rav Oshia, who said, well, may Sayyidi Zekim and Rav Yeraba, Rav Yahadadol, I was collecting 1 Zekim, we are Marley, and he said, Kol Zayis, if I hold it short, you have covered it well, and I said, now he's got the problem from the Mishnah, not Rav Yochanan, because the Mishnah also said, the next piece of the Mishnah said, that Ragliot, as soon as you finished one, and you're up to the next one, but it's considered to be shikha. But I thought he said, you could certainly reach it, you turn around and take from the one before. According to him, Ragliot are a problem. You thought that Arius was a problem to Rav Yochanan. It's not. And now let's take a look at the other part. Aren't Ragliot the problem to Rav Oshia, who claims that as long as something is within reach, it's not considered to be shikha? So if you hear the Ragliot, it's certainly considered to be in reach, and nonetheless they are shikha. Because I can answer even that. Shanehi should call Rogliot, Verogliot, Uman Bitneatsmo. There is a difference in a vine, because every vine is cautious enough to be viewed as a row. And therefore, the moment I finish a row, everyone agrees that it's considered to be shikha, even though I can still reach it. Hadron Allah call Zayas
Li Neder. Something the Halika Pele.
Her Shmini, Halota Allah. What point does a person become mutter who owns the field, who owns the vine? At what point is he allowed to take for himself the leket? The aniyim are no longer going to take, because what can we assume? That essentially they've left it and it's done for. After the old men who come by, who cannot compete with the younger people, who first the hordes of aniyim come by, they take whatever they can. The elderly who have to walk on a cane and they've got their faces down to the ground and they can't be pushed and they can't compete, they come out later. And they slowly walk around and they find everything. And what they haven't found certainly is after. Nobody, no one is going to come back and look for parrots after they've been through it. So the male, if you happen to find something, you don't have to worry about getting to aniyim. The aniyim, so to speak, have been lost. The parrot who go all alone, When it comes to parrot and ololot, this is lekit. I'll look it in the field. When it comes to parrot and ololot, however, the shear is mishiyahu aniyim bekerem liyavot. After the aniyim have been through the kerem twice, for some reason, which the Gemara will ask, why in the world don't we talk about the nimushot for kerem? But for some reason, in a kerem, there's no shear of nimushot. Ubezekim, the shear of a olive tree, is mishiyahu aniyim the ashiyah. For an olive tree, of course, there's no lekit, but with follow. Shifra, what we're talking about is Teya in the olive tree. Mi sheteret with the Ashniya, at the time of the second moon rain, first rain, at that point, it's not considered already to be Teya. Well, you're the halogation Muslims, they say, what kind of shear is that? Some people don't even start the Mishika. Mishika is equivalent to the Ketira for Geffen or the Ketira for Tua, but everything has its own thing. They wait until the very end. So how, what kind of shear is that? The shear is for an ani who would go out to collect, who finds so little that he cannot even get 4 isros worth of food. There's not even enough for 2 sudas there for himself and his family. Then it's not considered to be worthwhile for him. It's bucket. And even the ani is not going to come out for bucket. So it's not bucket. What's the word nimushot? Because nimushot is shehen ba'ot basot. Is it lo yamish atarazot b'tisa? So let it go. They're the very last thing. And the male, everything, they are mush, everything. They will hold on to everything until the very end. Abishol says, well, I don't call them nimoshot. I call them mishoshot. Mishoshot from a lotion of holding on to something. And itanaitani nimoshot, itanaitani mishoshot. Indeed, there are 2 girsos in the Mishnah that are accepted girsos, and both of them are right. Mandyama nimoshot, as we explained, shown by mishoshot. Mandyama mishoshot is a lotion of mishosh, to touch something, the mash machine, ubatin. So it's like mishmush, right? Lo yemishun. So not to hold on. They hold on, or we call mishmush yad by yeter. They hold on to the very end. Actually, mishmush is probably also more of a squishing in there. Rabbi Yehuna B'Shem Menachem says that, you know, you think that these guys that come at the end, they don't have very much. But Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri was too busy to sit there planting things. It was too busy to sit there. He was too busy learning to sit there competing with people, with Aniyim for food. He went out there with the Nimushot at the end. And in coming back, he made enough to support himself the entire year. The Hayam Mevi Parnasatosho Kol Hashana. He had such a low demand out of life, he was able to bring enough for him to live off of for the whole year. Tell me, Matanot and Nim Shabbat Sadesh, not Nim Makidim Aleyhim. If there are things left in the field that the ani has not put on, harehein shal ba'alabayit. It belongs to ba'alabayit. Ezra ibon b'achia, boy, what is that supposed to mean? V'yesh adam korei shein peyal atzmo. And suppose I know that nobody comes out in this area before to collect. Yeah, high standard of living, wow, what are you talking about? It was the old time ani and we collect welfare. We're going to go around and waste that time collecting. We get... You collect a check better. I'm sorry. So what does that mean? That in such a case, a person could actually go ahead, make a payer, offer himself up from all of the matzamim, and say, well, that's all mine. No problem. There's nobody's marking on it. Does that make sense? Tell me, this isn't true by your client. No. He doesn't make it fair. The Torah says, La'ani v'la'ger ta'azovota. Leave things for the ani and the ger. The lo la'orvim v'la'talaitim. Don't leave things for clothes and bats. Therefore, there's not shyer to give payah. That's what it's saying. Nothing. You can give payah, then you can take it. There's no chiyuv of payah where you're not leaving it for aniyim. Payah doesn't mean leave over the last piece of your field. Peya means leave the field for your aniyim. If there aren't any aniyim, then there is no peya. It's not a question of being carried. Peya.
That's why he says there's no peya.
Who? What? What?
Several weeks ago, Bonnie and I had asked Nevin for a long time, why there's no lesha.
Ah.
And there it is, because they're not going. So,
there you go. People don't go, there's no peya. The parrot for all of those. Why are you going to come to parrot for all of those? Motamir and Nimushot. How come it doesn't say anything about the Nimushot when it comes to it? It only says Megabe Leket Nimushot. So when it came to Megabe Parrot, it said, well, one trip and then the second trip through without any Nimushot. Why then? Alibation Chavivim Hun Bein Alatai. Because grapes are very cautious. And all people like grapes. And they're not going to do it. So they're going to take a chance on getting knocked over by the kids. So Mamela, they come out right away. And they'll look for it. And why did they give me Shaparit and Yashina? Why don't we send you Mushot over there? You know why? It's too cold. By the time the Zaytun are ready, it's right there. Finishing the Neitzina, bring your team on the Bokhurim. Kids go out in the winter. Old men don't go out in the winter. Start collecting in fields. So Mamela, we don't have to worry about the Mushot. According to him, you know it's sure you should get him. Now, what do you think? You're saying that the shear is that the army should go out and shouldn't be able to collect enough that gives him four Yisrim, and therefore it has nothing to do with the Yashmiya, it has nothing to do with that. It's Shaila of at what point, even before with the Yashmiya, if you wouldn't find Arba Yisrim, you think. But in fact, it's going to be cautious. So we're asking, what does that mean? If people, the mice that will be going out to collect, so it's not us and we shouldn't get them. It's up to you to define. But since that guy is going to end up finding that it wasn't worthwhile, so therefore we might as well relieve him of it in advance. Relieve him. He's going to be going out to check. You've decided that it's not worth it for him. Who cares? It's us and we shouldn't get them. No. The Shitatam Heshivan. He's not saying that this replaces the other shear. That wasn't the shot. He's not going to get different shear. It's all included in the kashya that was being asked. So as we said, now those ain't Moshkins, they say an old Akhara of Yeshua. Aren't there some people who don't even begin the Moshik of the Zayas until then? And how could that be the shear? And he's asking a different question. Furthermore, you're telling me to be shetered via shmiya and not nimoshot. The nimoshot said nothing to do with it. Why? Because it's cold. So then, according to you, you should say the same thing that there should be no problem even for the bachurim if they're not going to get enough out of it and it's too cold to make it worth their while to get something that's less than Arba Yisroel. You should have said that also at a time that an oni won't come out. This was a question. It wasn't a replacement of their sheep. You said to them, this is up to them. Why don't you have to analyze if you don't know it's good, it's kedai for the old men because it's cold, and it's not kedai for the kids if it's cold and there's not enough produce. Why don't you put that into? He wasn't saying that the shear itself is up. So Elav Bakurim, he talks to Yodea, Sheinu Mevipan Asatarap, who I know you say. Who cares what it's saying to yourself about Bakurim? Even the Bakurim, if he knows he's not going to get anything out of it, he's not going to go out in the cold. So once you make it dependent in how people feel about it, so what do you say? There's not even a choice. You could have made it dependent on the Bakurim too. Therefore, I don't like that shear. It's like the Nasata Dvarat Alisha Yurin. It was a kasha. It wasn't a text. Okay. So I'm here. I'm making a guess. Oh, they have it marked? Oh, it's perfect. So this is what? This is Lamed Buzz.